Yeah, hey, it's me. It's a good morning, happy Friday. Beamaz and Beamer on the air here. News Radio 930 WBEN. Brian's off. You're stuck with me for the next hour. Hope that's okay. Hope everyone's having a glorious start to the day. Beautiful day outside. The sun is shining. You know, I talked about this yesterday afternoon. This is the perfect windows down, driving, you know, slow into work today. Take the most in. This is also probably a good day to play hooky, don't you think? Now, I would never play hooky, except I did once in high school. And is the statute of limitations? I can't get detention for admitting this now, can I? Can I get a detention slip from Amherst saying you have to come to detention for admitting this? But back in the day, my senior year, I think it was May. I think it was in the month of May. Yes, it must have been, because I had friends who were out of school, out of college for the semester. And it was a beautiful day, just like this. And went to school for one period. Went to the nurse's office, said I was feeling sick. Had my called my buddy saying it was my father. And he gave me permission to leave school that day. Oh, it was great. It was one of those memorable, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off type days. Just pretending that I was sick. I got out of school. Now, kids, I'm not saying to do this. I am not promoting this type of behavior. But it was just such a memorable day. So me and a bunch of my friends, we went to the buffet up at the casino in Niagara Falls. Oh, it was just one of those. Just a beautiful day. And I remember that more than any class I went to. That one day I played hooky. And glad I did. Mom, Dad, sorry if this is the first you're hearing of that. But that was fun times. Fun times, and hopefully I won't get detention for admitting it. Speaking of detention on this beautiful day, you know, yesterday, and I need to hear from people who are involved in this situation, or I'm not going to be able to go too far on this, but yesterday we saw students walking out at Nardin Academy in support of their teachers. Now, maybe they were, right? I'm sure a lot of them, you know, agree with the teachers. But I've read now numerous articles on the situation at Nardin, okay? And I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I hate to be that way. I don't know what they're walking out over. It's a bunch of generic comments. And I wish someone would just give me actual, for real, what's going on. Comments like, it doesn't feel like home anymore. The president's leadership has divided the school. How? Can anyone tell me how the president's leadership has divided the school? Because maybe you're right. And maybe I would agree. But I have now read three articles on this. And it's really, it's just generic things, right? Like if I wanted Jimmy to be out of a job, if I said I couldn't, you know, Jimmy doesn't make the radio station feel like home anymore, which is the complete opposite of the truth. But let's just say I could literally say the generic comments I've heard from the Nardin parents, students, and teachers. I don't doubt that they feel this way. But I'd like to hear like some concrete statements of examples of why the school feels different, right? We're hearing things of, it's sad, the school that we entrust to give our kids the education that they have to strive to ensure our children's future is set up. It's sad it's come to this. It's come to what? And I'm not going to lie. And I realize most students were not like Joe Beamer in high school, okay? But if I was in high school, and I was on student government, so some people would say that, you know, oh, look, that's a member of student government walking out. But if I was in high school and someone had offered me, Joe, want to walk out at noon? Are you kidding me? I didn't do my homework. Of course I want to walk out at noon. I'd be walking out too. I'd walk out of school. Yeah, I'm supporting my teachers. Here I am walking out of school. So I'm sorry, and this is probably not the right way to look at it, and I probably, you know, people are upset for the way I'm saying this, but I'm sorry that the students walking out doesn't scream a lot to me. Again, because I'm looking at from the perspective of someone who would have literally walked out for anything. You're telling me I can miss my fifth period class? Yeah, let's go. Come on. I'll walk right out. So I'm sorry, that doesn't scream to me, oh, the students are standing in solidarity. I'm sure some of them are. And I'm sure most of them are, right? But I do not have a clear picture of what is actually going on at Nardin Academy that has made teachers, students, parents participate in this walkout. And nothing I heard yesterday, unless I'm reading the wrong articles, going to the wrong sources, nothing that I've heard yesterday makes it any clearer of why teachers, parents, students feel this way. You know, and this is coming from someone who doesn't have the most extensive vocabulary. So it's not like you have to use big words for me to... what has the president done, in your opinion, to make it feel, quote, not like home, feel divided? You know, the Channel 4 has a well-written article, nothing against the people over at Channel 4. But the students are, this is what Joan Ricca says, R-I-C-C-A, I hope I'm saying that right. Joan, a former teacher who taught music and theater at Nardin for 40 years, said the walkout was wonderful. Quote, the students are supportive of each other. They love their faculty because their faculty is amazing. And I'm not saying that because I'm a former faculty member. It was the best private school for years and years. I just think it's fabulous that the kids are supporting their faculty. Supporting their faculty in what? Now, Joan goes on to say, obviously, I don't work there anymore, but I'm in contact with more faculty members than you could know, and I've been abreast of things for a long time. And I honestly believe the woman speaks out both sides of her mouth, speaking of the president. I don't think she's able to change. I do mean that. She can put the charm, and she can be vicious. About what? What has she done? What has she done? Joan goes on to say, I'm bringing both my daughters here. Oh, is this... Joan goes on. I'm bringing both my daughters here. They're both still in lower school. I wanted them to graduate from here. The prestige and the name of Nardin, the community, doesn't exist anymore. And it's very sad. I don't know what's going to be the end result. I do wish we could get a result by the end of the day. But why? Why do you feel that way? Does anyone understand what I'm trying to say? Believe me, I'm not here saying, you know, how dare the students walk out? How dare the teachers promote that? That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, what exactly has this person done to get people so upset? I didn't get a feel of that from any of the literature I read of yesterday's walkout. Right? They're chanting, save our school, one Nardin. Thankfully, they didn't start chanting, thank you, Sabres. But what exactly has been going on? That's the answer I'm looking for here. Give the community a better idea of what's going on at Nardin. Because most of us don't know. I think I'm speaking for the majority of Western New Yorkers not involved with Nardin Academy. We don't know what's going on. We see the walkout, and we want to say, oh, that's great, or what are they doing? But we literally have no idea. We don't know what's going on. So tell me right now, 803-0930, star 930. I think this will be very informative for the people of Western New York that want to know what's going on, but I think feel like me. We're going to start in Buffalo with Nancy. Hey, Nancy, thanks for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, Nancy. What is going on at the Nardin Academy?
All I know is this. My fiance's niece attended Nardin. She was there for quite a few years. Long story short, she was being bullied, terribly being bullied by I'm not sure exactly, you know, how long it had been going on, but all I know it was four girls of color that were actually even to poison her, okay? And are you still there? Sorry, I got my dog in the car. Hello?
So, Nancy.
Oh, yeah. So she was being bullied. The administration didn't do anything about it. Long story short, she had to leave the school. She's going to another Christian school, Catholic school, and she's thriving at this other school. So I surmise that the administration isn't doing anything about bad behavior or allowing, bad behavior to be infiltrated into the classroom.
Was that under this president, though? Was that under the president that they're walking out?
Yes, because, she left, I believe it was last year, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was, they had a talk with the children that were doing this, and it ended up that my niece was the one, basically, that had to be separated from these people that were bullying her terribly. So that's all I know, and I can put in my input, but people are afraid to say it, and I'm saying it. She was bullied by four girls.
All right, Nancy in Buffalo. Again, if that's the case, I hate to be this way, but you're obviously always going to look at it from the point of view that, well, my kid didn't do anything, right? I mean, how many parents? This happened all the time. Because my parents were never like that, right? My parents were never, Joe didn't do anything. My parents were always like, well, Joe must have done something. So I apologize. I apologize, but you're always going to look at it from a more positive view from your side, and who knows, right? Who knows? Believe me, I ran my mouth in high school, and people said some awful things to me, but I was kind of asking for it, right? I don't know in this situation. I'm not saying that Nancy's wrong. I'm not saying Nancy's right. I'm just saying in a lot of situations I was in, okay, I would see the parents always take their child's side, except for my parents. My parents knew that I don't know when to shut up, and except one time. One time I do think I was poorly treated and my parents spoke up. But most of the time they're like, no, Joe, keep your mouth shut. That's So I don't know. Is that the situation that's going on, though? Is Nancy echoing why the students are walking out, why the faculty is upset with the president? Is Nancy along the lines, or is it something different? 803-0930, star 930. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. What exactly is going on at Nardin Academy? It's interesting because we have, including right here at WBEN, I think we have some of the best newsrooms around here in Western New York, right? And I'm not saying they didn't do a good job on covering the story. What I'm saying is I don't know what the story is. Okay, students walked out. I walked out of school once and no one covered that. I don't know what is going on. And I'd like to know. I mean, it seems like everyone's upset at the president of Nardin. And according to, in everything, like I said, everything is generic, right? Now, when I come on the radio and I'm talking about something specifically, I try to use not many cliches, right? I try to say, this is what's going on, boom, 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 and bullet point it. But you could literally put these quotes under any school dispute we've had in the United States of America, and you could just make it make sense. Right, here's another one. I hope for change. Not in changing who the president is, maybe, but at least making sure the policies that she implements are good for us and not bringing down everyone around us. Meaning what? An example is this, right? The example is blank. I want things to change because of blank. But we didn't see that. I didn't see one example of how the current president is bringing down Nardin Academy. And I think a lot of people are feeling that way. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on. It's also the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Someone's quoting one of my favorite songs from the late 90s. So on the text board. I don't know if that's intentional or just to throw me off. But I appreciate it nonetheless. So that's one thing that's going on, and we'll take your calls at 803-0930, star 930, the Narden situation. And then we had the state of the county, and this is something that we will focus on Hardline a little bit on Sunday, 10 to 12 here on WBEN. But the state of the county, the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, gave his state of the county address yesterday, and this year he was able to do it in just one day. And he put a bunch of stuff out there, a bunch of ways the county's going to spend more money. But the one thing that I think a lot of people are scratching their heads over, or maybe it's just me that's scratching their head over this, I don't know, is this idea to put the prison, right? Because the holding center is outdated, according to the county executive. Now, admittedly, I've never been in the holding center. I know you guys are going to find that very surprising. I have not been put in the holding center here in Erie County yet. You know, there's still time. But according to the county executive, the holding center is outdated. Needs to be updated, okay? So now, according to the sheriff's office, according to the county executive, he is dedicating $2 million. I mean, isn't it just amazing how they just throw numbers like that around? $2 million. $2 million. The state of New York spent $5 million for an environmental study. We spent $5 million on an environmental study to send the subway down the boulevard. Guess what that $5 million didn't get us? The subway going down the boulevard. It's amazing how these numbers are thrown around. You know, like, if I told my wife I spent $10 on something at the grocery store that was supposed to be five, you know, that's an all-day conversation. The county said, we're $2 million for research. I'm sorry, it's insane. It's insane the money that the county and the state and any municipality throw around for studies. I mean, how many millions have we spent on studying a new peace bridge? I mean, seriously, how much money have we spent on studying a new peace bridge? And we still have the old one. I believe the peace bridge we have is older than me, by the way. Anyway, so the county executive talking about a study that will combine the downtown holding center and the Alden Correctional Facility. Word is they want to put this in the Buffalo Grand Hotel. Now, if you're saying, Joe, where is the Buffalo Grand Hotel? It used to be called Adams Mark. Now you might know what I'm talking about. Do you really want the prison? Hey, welcome to downtown Buffalo. We're pulling in here on the 190. On your left, you'll see the correctional facility. Yes, right here in downtown, right on the waterfront here in downtown Buffalo. As we continue to go on, there's the arena. I mean, we can't think of a better place. The Buffalo Grand Hotel, which, by the way, is a premier plot of land, okay? The Buffalo Grand Hotel obviously has its issues since leaving Adams Mark, and, you know, maybe that has more to say about the owner than the plot of land, but you can't tell me that if that land went up for sale, someone wouldn't want to buy that and develop that into something. I'm not saying it's going to work as a hotel again, but develop that into something. Okay? But this idea of combining the holding center and the correctional facility and putting it downtown. Right now, downtown Buffalo is on the up and up, right? I really do believe it. You're seeing a lot of development at Canal Side. I mean, I always say this. Downtown Buffalo now compared to 15 years ago it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Is a prison really going to add to that? And is that what you want to see? Well, I mean, hey, not that there's not a bunch of eyesores on the 190, okay? And I'm not saying the prison would be an eyesore. I'm just saying there's a lot of eyesores on the 190, of course. But that plot of land, we're talking about bringing Buffalo back. I've been hearing bring Buffalo back since I moved to Buffalo in 99, okay? We're going to bring Buffalo back. Is the idea the Buffalo Grand Hotel? 803-0930, star 930. And this, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. This wasting money, $2 million to study the idea of combining the Alden Correctional Facility and the downtown holding center. I'll save them the $2 million. I think a majority of Western New Yorkers would say, maybe not the Buffalo Grand Hotel. There's something better can go on that plot of land. Or am I wrong? 803-0930, star 930. It's B-Maz and Beamer. Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. Hey, it's B-Maz and Beamer. Joe Beamer here with you. Brian off today. Final segment of the week. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We really do appreciate it. You know, we get this hour every day with you, and it means a lot that you guys will turn your radio on, or at least not turn it off for the hour that we're on. So we really appreciate that, and we hope not to lose too many listeners for the lead-in to Bella Via, who will be here in about 24 minutes. All right, so talking about this this holding center, this idea of putting the holding center. Now, there was a text that came in and said, would they be putting it in the building that sits there now? That wasn't clear to me if they're going to tear down and build it from scratch or if they're going to use the shell of the Buffalo Grand Hotel, if that's the idea. I just, with all the positive things going on, and believe me, I realize we need a, from what I've been told, we need a new holding center. Again, I haven't been to the holding center. If anyone out there wants to give me a tour of the holding center, maybe I could have a better opinion on that. But the word is that Erie County needs a new holding center. Now, I don't know why Alden Facility gets turned into this, gets combined with this, and we're going to combine the holding center and the correctional facility. I don't know how one means the other. I really don't. But the rumor is this $2 million study is going to go into combining the Erie County Holding Center with the Alden Correctional Facility, and that it's going to be where the Buffalo Grand Hotel is now. Now, there's a lot of things I can pick apart in this State of the County address. And believe me, like I said, we're going to play back some of it and go over some of it on Sunday, part of Hardline. But I just think this is a bad idea. We've been talking so much. We hear so much from our leaders about, bringing back the waterfront. Right? How many times do you hear that? Let's bring back the waterfront. We're bringing back Buffalo. I don't think the part of bringing back Buffalo is putting the prison in downtown Buffalo. I'm sorry. Again, I realize we need a prison. I realize that, you know, the prison has to be at some standard. But downtown? Right on the waterfront? I think it's an awful idea. And, by the way, you're driving into Buffalo on the 190, like I said. And to your left, there's the prison. So that's one of those things we'll probably hear more and more about. You know, these things are mentioned at the State of the County. And then you hear more and more about it. But that is the $2 million for the study. And then the cost to put the prison and the correctional facility together, $200 million. And if we've learned anything in the last month, that $200 million will not come from the surplus that is always bragged about. It will be another loan and another grant that the county will have to look for and put themselves in more debt. So they can walk around and say, well, look at this money we have on hand. You know, hey, look at all this cash I have. Yeah, but how much debt do you have? That's another thing I think is just ridiculous. You know, the only government experience I've had is running the finances for the student government of Amherst High School and Madai College. So I'm not saying that I'm in a position to give any kind of expert opinion. But my idea, if you, and we've heard this so much from this county. If we're going to brag about the money we have on hand and the surplus, oh my God, look at the surplus that Mark Poloncarz has put together in his time. I would think we then use it, right? If I have a surplus, if my savings account is enough to buy something, I'm not going to borrow more money. I'm not going to take out a loan. I'm going to spend the money. And then if an emergency comes around, then I'll borrow the money. Then I'll use the credit card. In my opinion, I think the county has it so backwards. The goal should be to borrow as little, put yourself in as little debt. And then, once you've used the surplus, now I'm not saying run it all the way down to zero, But if you have $100 million and you have a project that costs, you know, are they gonna take a bond out for the $2 million study? You might be sitting at home saying, Joe, that's ridiculous, is it? The debates that we've heard over the last month about spending the money they have or bonding the money, in my opinion, is completely ridiculous. Spend the money you got. When you're down to $10 million in surplus, then you can start taking bonds out again. That's coming from this taxpayer. I don't know, you know, again, I don't know. Government's apparently different than budgeting your checkbook at home. But if I have $125 million and I'm spending $200 million on this project, well, then $100 million of it's going to be from my cash supply. I'm not just going to bond the whole $200 million thing and then pay interest on that. That's insane. I'm sorry. That's insane. So a lot of things we heard from the State of the State yesterday. And one of them just putting the prison. And again, this part wasn't said. The county executive has said we need a new holding center. He has said that. And, you know, I think he wants to get that done in an election year. Anyway, he said that. But now the word is that they're going to combine the holding center and the Alden Correctional Facility. And rumors say that that $2 million study is going to study the Buffalo Grand Hotel. So we'll hear much more about that. Before we get out of here, another thing I want to talk about. You know, we've done so much going cashless. You know, everything is cashless now, right? You go to... Now, I can't remember from last year at the Bisons. Jimmy, are the Bisons cashless now, too? Is everything cashless? Or can I still pay Conehead in cash? I don't know. I can't remember. I went to several Bison games last year. I can't remember if the Bisons were cashless or not. But there's more cashless, right? I mean, the vending machines here take cash, but I think everyone uses their debit card to use the vending machine. And the problem with this is there's less coins to go around. And if you're like me and you're an Aldi shopper, it's not good to have less coins going around because you need a quarter somewhere in your car. You got to look on the floor somewhere in your car to get your cart at Aldi. Or you can be like the people, have you ever witnessed this? You're walking out of Aldi and they say, we don't have a quarter, but we have two dimes and a nickel. Can we take your cart? I've had that happen several times outside of Aldi. But you don't want to be in that position because you don't know how many people are going to be willing to give you their cart for, you know, I came in with one coin, now I have three. Anyway, before we were, you know, crazy about cashless and everything being cashless, I had what I thought was a great system, okay? I would drive around with a coin cup in my car, okay? And anytime I got any kind of coin, I would spend, you know, cash on a regular basis, the coins would go in the coin cup. And we're talking like, you know, the plastic cup, souvenir cup they give away at a Sabres game or a Bills game, okay? And I would wait until that thing filled up. And then I would go, and I know a lot of you are going to get mad at this because you could save money if you do it yourself. I would go to Coinstar with my coin cup, and I would take the cash out. And, you know, every 3-4 weeks, every month, I've got an extra $40-$50. You'd be surprised how much change is in that coin cup. I now have a much smaller coin cup in my car. And let me tell you, I haven't been to Coinstar probably since the pandemic. That's just how little, and I always carry cash with me. But so little situations are you in where you're spending cash anymore. Like I said, I have a coin cup. A change cup, but there are times where I'm struggling to find a quarter. I need a quarter to get my Aldi shopping cart. So I want to know, for those of you, I know there's people out there like this because I've gotten into people's cars and they have the same coin cup. Have you noticed that coin cup getting lesser and lesser? Or do you still make a point to pay with cash, get change? And maybe you've got some extra time and you roll up your change instead of using Coinstar. Because I walk into the grocery stores, Coinstar is still there. But I can't imagine Coinstar is as profitable as it was 5-6 years ago. I never see anyone standing at the Coinstar machine anymore. You know, and there'd be times where I'd have to get behind two or three people at the Coinstar machine at Wegmans just to throw my cup of coins in. 803-0930, star 930. Jack's in Buffalo. Hey, Jack.
Yeah, the Bison still take cash.
They still take cash. Well, that's good to know. So yep.
The Amex, you got to have a smartphone for tickets, believe it or not, for minor league hockey.
Wow.
So they do not take cash for tickets anymore.
See, I was going to say if the Bisons are cash and tickets, that then the minor leagues, but the Amex have gone all pro on you.
If you show up day of game, don't have a smartphone, they'll take cash, but they'll charge you a surcharge to use your cash, believe it or not.
Wow. See, that's
absolutely ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Jack, I appreciate the call. When you're starting to pay a surplus to use cash, the surplus is usually use your card. Like the vending machines out here, a Monster's $3.50. If I use my card, it's $3.60 because they have to pay a card fee. That's insane to charge someone more to use cash. You know, but that's the world we're getting into. Right? Everything's cashless. I talked about this when I was in for Bowerly a few weeks ago. When things are cashless, right, when you're using a card, people spend more money. I mean, it's smart for these businesses to go cashless. Why? People spend more money when they're using a card. Because it doesn't feel like you're losing anything. It doesn't feel like you're spending money. Believe me, I've been caught in that trap. You're not physically seeing the money go. So when you use a card, when you swipe a card, you're like, oh, yeah, $100, fine. Now, if you're spending $100 and you're pulling out 520s, see, I can do math, and you're pulling out 520s, well, now I'm feeling that $100 leaving my pocket. You're not doing that when you're just swiping a card all the time. And I think that's how we have so many people, not only in credit card debt, but so many people will check out their bank app. You know, maybe they went out with a few friends one night. They'll go on their bank app and they'll say, wow, how much money did I spend? Because you don't feel it. And the other thing that really upsets me, and I know I'm nitpicking here, but when you go out and you'll have a meal, right? And you'll leave a tip on the card. Now, I try to leave a tip in cash. But sometimes you forget to go to the ATM and you leave the tip on the card, but that tip doesn't clear for like a week. So you've completely forgotten about it. Yes, I know I'm a millennial. I should keep a check register. I get it. But the week later, you'll forget about that $15 and then it will drop out of your account. That's always the worst. That's always the worst. You've completely forgotten about it. And now you're $15, $20 short because, you know, they didn't take that tip out until they finalized your receipt. And some places, you know, it takes a couple days before they finally get to that. And what's the word I'm looking for? Clear all the card receipts. Let's go to Kathy in Lockport. Kathy, what do you think about this cashless society?
It's not the way that I want to go, Joe. I like to be able to have options. And I went to Darien Lake. I was so excited to go to a concert. Had my daughter figure out how to put the tickets on the phone. And then when I got there and pulled out my $40 to get a drink, and the girl goes, we don't take cash. I was like, well, okay, I guess I'm not getting the drink, which was probably too expensive to begin with. But we're giving away so much of our options, and so much is traced, tracked. And I'm like, they don't need to know I'm buying a drink at wherever. You know, it's when they say we don't take it, that it's not as an option, really bothers me because it is a legal way of tender.
Yeah. No, I, you know, that's a newer one, Kathy, Darien Lake. But, I mean, if you're going to spend $18 for a beer, I guess you'll buy more if you're not seeing that cash physically go.
Well, and young people don't even know how to budget anymore. I mean, it was always hard to begin with, and that was a learning process. But when it's on a card, it's real easy to spend or a debit, and they really – I've had people where I work and they'll go, how do I pay for this? You write a check or you do a debit or you do a money order. It's just kind of, it's part of a learning process of just even how to pay things.
Well,
they don't know any other way.
Kathy, you don't have to tell me. I appreciate the call, Kathy in Lockport. But, you know, I think this is starting to come around, because last year the Bills did not offer the season ticket card, okay? All your tickets had to be on your phone, right? This year, and I'm guessing it's because of complaints they've got, this year they brought back the season ticket card. Now, it does cost you $5 extra per card. However, if you don't want all your tickets on the phone, and it also stinks because the reception at the stadium when it fills up is awful. So the Bills are getting a little pushback on this, everything on your phone, everything cashless. Things are still cashless at the stadium, don't get me wrong. However, they got so much pushback on things being on their phone that they said, hold up, you can get the season ticket card again. And I think that's a positive. You know what that means? That means it's not just me pushing back. Okay? There are obviously a considerable number of people who feel uncomfortable. And let me tell you, it is uncomfortable. Oh my gosh, is my battery full? Especially when, you know, you're tailgating for a few hours. Is my battery full? How about if my battery dies? I have no backup. I'm glad the Bills brought back the season ticket card. And again, I think that's pushback on everything's got to be on your phone. Well, you know, some people would actually like to do things without their phone. Believe it or not, some people would actually like to go to an event and keep their phone in the car. So that's that. Final thing I want to get to, and I probably will bring this up on Monday because I wonder where Brian stands on this. There has been so much pushback on Major League Baseball teams this season. Now, I know people are going to disagree with me, so let me explain my position on this. Major baseball games are going by a lot quicker, right? Because of the pitch clock and some of the rules that have been implemented. So a few of the Major League Baseball teams have extended alcohol sales until the end of the game. And this has people pushing back. Oh, all these people are going to be on the road after, having a drink up until the end of the game. You know, I hate to break the news to people. People were doing that anyway. People would get two drinks in the seventh inning, and they would, you know, drink them till the end of the game. Here's the thing. Whatever happened to personal responsibility? Right? How about if I take public transit to the game? How about if I have a DD? I took an Uber, a taxi. Why should I have to stop? Why can't I have one in the eighth inning if I want one? Do we need the baseball organizations to hold our hand? Hey, if you're driving, you probably shouldn't have more than one drink. Right? I mean, we're adults here. Personal responsibility. People are up in arms because Major League Baseball teams have decided, hey, we're going to extend alcohol sales to the ninth inning. Now, when I go see the Mets, this might be a newsflash for people. I don't drive to the games. I take the 7 line, right? I don't. If I'm at a sporting event, most likely if I drove there, I'm probably either going to have a beverage or maybe not one at all. That is possible to enjoy a game with a water and a bag of peanuts. Believe me, very enjoyable. I just the personal responsibility. Be an adult. Be smart. If your idea of having fun at the game is going to the game and not remembering what happened in the ninth inning, well, number one, you can do that at home without spending $100 a ticket. But number two, don't drive. Don't drive. I say this all the time. In 2023, there is no excuse for drunk driving. Not that there ever was. But there's no excuse for drunk driving in 2023. You can call an Uber, a Lyft, a taxi from an app on your phone. You can take a bus, take the train. There's no reason to get behind the wheel after having too much to drink. So it's not on baseball teams, it's not on hockey teams, it's not on football teams to hold your hand to control your drinking. That's on you. Because last time I checked, there's no bar out there that tells you what time are you leaving? Okay, 2 hours before that, you have to stop drinking. No, that's a you decision. And if you're stupid enough to get behind the wheel after drinking too much, well, you're going to pay the price. I would hope people are smarter than that. Be an adult. Don't put other people in harm because of your good time. Like I said, have a good time. I love having a good time. I love having a few adult beverages. I don't get behind the wheel. I have plenty of options. And we live in Buffalo. So think of that. You've got even more options in bigger cities, bigger markets where these baseball teams are. So don't get mad at the baseball team. Don't get mad at the organization. Get mad at the people who aren't mature enough to enjoy a beverage and then stop. That's the people you have to be mad at. The people who lack personal responsibility. I'm going to drink until they take it away. Okay. And then what? You're going to get behind the wheel? Well, you're an idiot. And you're a danger to society. I get so upset. There was something on ESPN yesterday, a baseball player. I can't believe they're doing this. What, the Phillies? You can't believe the Phillies are doing it? Or you can't believe that there's immature adults who don't know when to stop? That's who you should be mad at. Not the organization. Again, personal responsibility. Have we just completely lost that? We need everyone to hold our hand and tell us when to stop and tell us what we can do? Gosh, I hope not. Have a great weekend. Hardline Sunday, 10 o'clock. Bella Vie is next here on WBEN.